Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
What's up, Runaways? We have a member of the Pride joining us. Who is it? Stick around and find out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Thank God it's Tuesday, right, people? I love Tuesdays. It means Runaways. What do you guys, are you guys, who's this on the couch?
Well, she looks like me. How's that for a clue?
I have a feeling she's a part of Runaways.
I mean, she has to be, right?
The Pride?
Hmm.
Evil parents?
We're going to find out. But first, let's introduce ourselves.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey guys, I'm Mina, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
What's up, guys? I'm Ashley Brinkman. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley_Brinkman.
And I'm Oliver Jenin. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. But first, let's find out who this Pride member is. Lovely, Miss Lovely Angel Parker.
Hi, guys.
Yay.
Hello. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Where can the good Runaways find you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm Angel Parker, and Angel Parker LA on Instagram. So.
Oh, my God. We are so excited to have you. Thank you so much. You being a part of Runaways, how is that feeling in this moment? Like, you're part of the MCU.
I know, which I had to learn what that was, which is kind of crazy. I just dove right in. It was crazy just to, you know, get the audition for this job and learn all about it and just dive right in. So it's been such a whirlwind this whole year, and for it to come out and the fans to love it so much, I'm just really excited that people are digging it.
Oh my gosh.
How was that the casting process? Because they're very secretive with their stuff, so you probably don't get a lot of background.
No, you didn't get a lot. And I was in Toronto shooting The Strain when I got the audition for this, and Corey Stoll, who's the other actor on the show, he's a part of the MCU. He was in Ant-Man, and then my other co-star, Rainbow Sun Franks, was a huge Runaways fan, so he knew it. So I'm like, oh, I got an audition for a Marvel show. Oh, and their nerd ears just perked up.
Oh, my gosh.
We all went to dinner because we were trying to transition to night shoots and stay up late, and they just gave me the whole rundown of it all. And the next day, I sent a tape. Like, I sent an audition tape into L.A., and a week later, I was flying back home to L.A. to test for. Then I went back to Toronto to finish The Strain, came back to shoot, went back and forth. It was a whirlwind of time, but it was just the best.
That is so cool. And you have your mother, and what do they think? Their mom is, you know, part of the MCU, but she's also a villain.
I know. Well, my son is almost 12. He'll be 12 next week. So he knew the MCU. He knew everything. So we got the comic, and he read through it in 2 days. I've never seen that kid read so quickly.
Oh, my gosh. But it's hard to put down.
I know. It is. And I just love that it was a young black boy was the lead. So he got to really just follow him as the protagonist. And he just let me know. And then it was mama's homework to watch all the Marvel movies, all the Marvel shows. He couldn't watch all the Marvel shows, but definitely all the movies and stuff. And we had fun kind of getting mom up to speed with everything Marvel.
So cool.
Yeah.
Everybody in the chat is giving me so much love. They're like, I love your lab rats. Yeah. Lab rats. Like, it's like that. Like,
I know. It's kind of cool because the Lab Rats fans are growing up, and so they're old enough to watch Runaways. Yeah. So they're kind of coming along, and they're still like, it's Tasha Davenport. But so it's really cool that it's kind of a still a family, you know, it's a young audience show. So, because I love the fans, and young fans are the best because they're just so invested in the show and it means so much to them. So I really love talking to the fans online.
Yeah, and guys, if you have any questions in the chat, if you're tuning in live, please let us know so we can, you know, ask Angel your questions. So we're going to be talking about episodes 4 and 5 today.
Okay, great.
So please, whenever you just interrupt us if you want to, just like like, shut up, I'm gonna say something.
Okay.
But we're gonna be like, we can even talk about past episodes as well, because like you and Molly have some dynamics going on too.
Yeah. Episode 3 was crazy.
But first, before we go on, I'm gonna do a little shout out to a wonderful show called Vikings. Now, it's history's critically acclaimed series that premiered last week, November 29th. And season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army, while Lagertha reigns as queen of Kagat. Ivar's murderer of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's son plot their next moves after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Flocky, who is suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, takes to the sea, submitting himself to the will of the gods. This season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Does anyone watch Vikings? Do you watch Vikings?
I don't watch Vikings. Well, it sounds like I should, though.
You need to. I need to get on this, but we're going to talk Runaways because I am addicted to the show. So episode 4, titled 15.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, this one was a crazy one because we open up with Amy's death.
I know.
Or murder, possibly. So, Nico,
or suicide, you don't know.
Or suicide, because it's a tragic accident, as we constantly, it's referred to.
It's referred to.
So,
I think it's funny how all the parents keep calling every murder death a tragic accident.
Well, you know, we don't mean to be bad.
You have good/bad intentions at the same time.
Yes, all will be revealed.
Oh my gosh. Like,
do they tell you basically, you know, if you're bad or if you're good or what the motive is between...
No, you know, Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, they're the showrunners of our show, and they made Gossip Girl, and they made The OC, and Josh would always say there are no villains.
I love it.
So he would say there's no villains. Don't think of yourself as a villain. That's not true.
Because everyone has their own self-interest.
Everyone, and there's reasons for it. And then it also flips on its head. I mean, when we get to the end, you're going to understand a little bit more about how we enter the pride. And we see a little bit of it in episode 5 on sort of the deal with the devil that we start to make and what we owe. But... yeah, no, I don't think of myself as a villain. Just, you know, a determined woman.
But when you were acting out the scenes, did you know what your mission was ahead of time? Or do they just give you the script without letting you know in advance what...
Well, we don't know a lot. We have the source material, so we have the comics. So we do know what the show's about, and we do know sort of the arc of what's going to happen.
Okay.
But it's up to the writers. It's up to how it's playing. And I simply try to play each scene as I'm in them at that time. And so then it just kind of... layers upon itself, and then the whole episode happens. Because if I try to think of the whole thing at once, I'm going to be lost. So I just think of it one step at a time. So I just concern myself with the scene that I'm doing at the time. Yeah,
and it's really cool that Brian K. Vaughan is the executive consultant on the show.
Yeah,
so.
No, he was very active in it all. So no, we're not trying to change anything. We really want to honor what the fans want to see, and everyone's going to love it.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing new sides of Catherine that we didn't see in the comics.
They're really expanding on that in the history of the Pride and sort of the backstory of all of that. They did have to sort of take a little bit of creative license to build all of that, but Brian was a part of all those discussions. So.
Was there something that you personally wanted to incorporate in Catherine, or
I just wanted her to ring true? I just wanted her to be honest. I wanted you to believe. I wanted you to believe her. I wanted you to see sort of the conflict that she has, and just how much she loves her family. How much we call it Team Wilder, and how she's going to move forward no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to love Alex a lot more than Tina loves Nico or Amy. Because
I know.
I don't know. What do you guys think of this whole murder/suicide that happened with Nico?
Okay, first of all, she knocked out her own daughter. That's a strike against you already.
I kept thinking that was a dream or like some sort of because they framed it like a flashback, but it felt like she was hallucinating.
It was a flashback.
I don't know. It felt like a hallucination. Or like
she's dreaming.
I didn't want to believe. Did not want to believe
it. Thinking.
Yeah.
The parents, Robert and Tina, they seemed way too calm for me to think that they didn't know that this was going to happen to Amy. So I feel like they have some input, but ultimately I think it was the Pride's decision as a whole. But I don't think they're that heartless to go ahead and kill their own daughter, but I feel like it was a decision that had to be made.
For the greater good.
Doing predictions really early, but kind of like...
No. We have a lot to talk about. Episode 5 is a good one. Angel's here, so it's okay. We can go all over the place.
Am I right?
I don't know. Well, I do know. I do know, but I'm not going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Well, all we do know at this point that the Pride needs a new sacrifice because Destiny washed up on a beach.
I know. Poor Destiny.
That was so...
I do have a question about the episode with Destiny. How was it filming Destiny's scene where she was put into the pod and it was the Pride meeting? Because all of us watching it, we were like, oh, it was so awful.
I know.
It was so sad.
I mean, those scenes we shot down at a mausoleum down in Compton in this so it's creepy. You know, there's no acting in the set of just being there. But it was hard, and she's such a beautiful actress, and she was very committed. And you know, they ensure her privacy, so mm-hmm. there's sort of nude things to cover her and we really protected her, and we really wanted her to feel safe because there's a lot of people in those rooms, and she really had to go through a lot. So it's not easy. It's not easy, and it doesn't really take much acting when you start to play the scene and you have to put this girl in the box and you're conflicted and she starts to fight back, and Ryan's character Jeffrey's like, I'm sorry. So all of a sudden it's confirmed that this is not right. It breaks your heart.
Yeah. It was such a good scene.
Thanks.
Seeing Jeffrey's reaction, he didn't want to do it. You know, he didn't want to do it. You may have wanted to do it. Catherine was just like,
I think that everybody's conflicted for their own reasons, but Jeffrey was the most conflicted. Jeffrey's just like, this should not be happening. This should not, and he's vocal about it.
Because your kids are the same age as Destiny, basically.
Exactly.
At this point.
We say that. It's like that. He says that. Doesn't this bother anybody that it's the age of our kids? And I think, you know, in episode 5, that kid looks like our child, and it's even harder for everyone to really swallow that.
Mm-hmm. And as you worked with James Marsters, and like we see his character in episode 4, he's going through some PTSD. He's driving, and he sees he thinks that he picked up this girl and hit her over the head, and he's going to use her as a sacrifice. And we come to find out that she's not even there in the back of the van.
Yeah. Well, he turns the music up, and she escapes. She escapes. Yeah. So I don't know how clear that was, but she gets out. She's
interesting.
Not, yeah, she gets out, and she's not going to be taken down. Those scenes were a lot. They were longer and they were bigger, and they sort of got trimmed down. I'm not sure why. Maybe because they might have been too graphic for the young audience, or maybe for time. You never know. But still, and then he tries to kidnap the homeless man.
And then they get arrested.
I know it all goes down for James.
Bailed out by the police because the Pride has,
Detective Flores.
We
got them in
they
our
have
pocket.
Connections. Uh-huh. It's crazy. I need to be a part of this Pride. You know
I know, right?
I don't really want to sacrifice a 17-year-old, I thought that he was just going through, like, she wasn't really there. I thought maybe possibly that he did kidnap her, but years prior. Maybe she was like a prior sacrifice.
No, he kidnapped her and she escaped.
Okay.
Yeah, but he does have, which you find out in episode 5, he does have a severe brain tumor. So he does have things that are happening in his brain. So things are not always what they seem with him. So it could very well, play that way and still work, that what he thought he did, what he thought he had is just gone. Because he sort of feels that way about everything, with the box not working and then getting it to work, and how he is with his family, how he is with Chase. You know, it's not easy to be Victor Stein
right now. Yeah, we're seeing that pain that's causing all this anger. He's mad that he has this cancer, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone would be, especially a brilliant man like that, when your mind is everything to you and then it's being compromised. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would take its toll.
Yeah, and I think we definitely saw a different side to him, because originally we were all scared of him. I'm
I
like,
know,
oh,
nobody
my
likes
gosh.
Him. I know, and then by the end you're like, wait, why do we hate him so much?
And
then you start to understand.
Mina, you last week you said, like, I could totally sympathize with him, and you were right. Like, I could sympathize with him now.
He's not just a black and white character. There has to be something that's causing it.
Just the bonding scene was my favorite.
Yeah,
part.
And you were totally skipping ahead, but when he
nobody's black and white. There are, like I said, like Josh said to us, there are no villains in this. So there's shades of good and bad and everybody in the Runaways too. So you're going to see that over the course of the season. Just, you're going to swing back and forth on who you're rooting for.
And I think that's awesome, because I think usually they don't do that with shows that are geared towards millennial audiences, but now they're starting to do more of that, where I feel like when I was growing up watching Smallville and all these other shows, it was very
good,
like,
and evil
clear, like who the good guy was and who the bad guy was. And now things are shifting, and I think people are picking up that younger audiences are more savvy.
Yeah. You know, kids have a voice. Teens have a voice. They don't need to be talked down to understand. Mm-hmm. Kids have levels and layers, and to just say that, oh, this, we need to be this clear. It's like, no, nobody, mm-hmm. nothing is black and white. Life is nuanced. And so people are picking up on that. And the young audience is a great, vibrant audience, and the fans are so vocal and so strong, and the internet is such a powerful resource, and social media, so you get to hear what's going on. And like, no, we don't buy it, we don't need to be talked down to. Mm-hmm. Some shows are very clearly like a Smallville, this mm-hmm. is good and this is evil. Those are
but I run, did but love that show.
Yeah. I know I was like, I gotta defend Smallville. just for
I
a second
love it at the time,
but that's a classic, like, so that's a classic good versus evil, like, yeah, you know. And so Runaways is not that crystal clear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like you're like every week we're gonna change.
I know.
Like that more information.
Well, if you read through all of the comics of Runaways and you start to understand actually what Alex's character goes through, it will flip it on its head. So I'm not giving it away.
Yeah,
the diehard fans know what's to come. Ooh. But yeah, let's just say that nothing's clear.
And I'm thinking, because I read, you know, up until. So I don't know, you guys, it's like it can happen, but it also maybe it not might not happen. So you even have the comic book fans, diehard comic book fans, on their toes, because we don't know what to expect.
You don't know what to expect. I mean, we're definitely going to honor.
It's a lot of fun.
We're
going
to honor the source material for this first season, mm-hmm. but it's like Game of Thrones. You know, you never know who's going to get the axe. You never know if a character's going to stick around because you love them so much, even though they were supposed to die.
I have a 2-part question.
Ooh, sure.
Ivan wants to know, do the parents care about each other? And some of the people want to know, will the kids run away?
Yes, the kids. I know everyone's like, will the kids just run away by now? You're just, come on, you guys. Let's dive into the story. Let's find out. Let's see how, yes, I promise you, they run away. And it is, oh God, the scene where they, yes, it's so good. Yes, the show is called Runaways. The kids will run away. But we do have to get them to the point that they feel they must. Mm-hmm. And so
is it going to be like the last episode before season 2? And we're not going to know what's going on.
I love that. I appreciate like a good story, the storylines, good characters. So I'm okay with them not running away just yet.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with it.
Exactly. Yeah. We want the show to have longevity. We want to be around for a while, and we want to be able to tell every story. And you see that they're starting to kind of come back to their parents, and you're conflicted. I mean, if you've lived a great life so far, you know, somewhat, you're not just all of a sudden going to believe it all. And where do you go? What do you do? These kids have lived a very sheltered kind of life in Brentwood. Where are they going to go? So we got to get there.
Yeah. But I also think that like Runaways, there's so many other people that are running away other than the kids. Like, the Yorks, they tried to run away, but Tina stopped them. Mm-hmm. Destiny, she ran away. All the sacrifices, they're runaways. And so I think runaways is also just a different word of, like, we're constantly trying to run away from our problems. It's not just the kids. It's the parents as well.
The very first scene, that girl's, Destiny's on a bus, and you're just dealing with different runaways and different aspects of that, and that those are the ones that we're sacrificing. And do you forget them, or do you not? You know, what are you really running away
exactly.
from? Exactly. But it gets deep, so don't you
so
worry.
Excited.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
I would just say to the fan, you don't want to rush it, because there's so much stuff coming up. You don't want to rush it. But yes, before this season is over, I promise you the kids will run away.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Also, Jasmine Jones, she said, who would you ship on the Runaways between the kids?
We're seeing them start to form.
We have our favorites.
I know. Well, I know who ends up together, but I guess if I can't pick that, I mean, I would ship Alex and Nico. A lot of people ship Alex and Nico, even though that's not.
Does Kathleen ship Alex and Nico?
I mean, I don't know. Remember when Nico's mom comes in?
Uh-oh, yep.
And she's just, nobody's surprised. And remember when the runaways all leave our house after they first see the sacrifice, we're like, oh, do we see something going on between you and Nico? Uh-oh,
yeah.
What's going on? And Jeffrey's like, oh, you know, I had some game back in the day.
He did. I had some game.
You need to know, Bubble. So I think that all these families come together. I don't know, to answer the first part of that question, like how close are the Pride? Or
do they care about each other?
Do they care about each other? I think at different times they do, and at other times they don't. They're definitely obligated to be a part of the Pride, and many of them don't want to be there.
Well, do you guys want
to... And you know that, you know... nobody likes the Yorks' Brie. So.
That's the real reason the kids run away, isn't it?
They're like, oh God, I can't take the Brie anymore.
Well, I think we should just go on to episode 5 because we are just like stalling. You know, we know that Alex gets kidnapped. Yes. So that's the premise of episode 5.
That happens
but
at the end of 4.
We open with Jeffrey's game.
Oh, yes. The flashback.
Oh, yeah. So we open in a flashback going 18 years back. Spoiler alert. But hey, y'all. It's out. If you haven't watched it, that's on you. Turn it off. Turn this off and go turn on Runaways. No, we start with a flashback. We start going 18 years back, which is crazy to try to play yourself 18 mm-hmm. years ago. So we go back to 1999.
Yeah, because that's a totally different mindset you have
it's
to put yourself in.
It's a whole different everything. Yeah, I was like, where's the lighting? Are we going to move this around? But no, we flashback to Jeffrey in jail. And Catherine is his lawyer, and that's how they meet. I'm representing him and come up with a plan to get him out of jail because he gets presented with an offer mm-hmm. and one that he can't refuse. So she's got to figure out how to get him out of jail and also convince Jeffrey to ask his friend to do this for him, which they sort of cut a little bit of that scene off because he didn't really need it. But he has to then go to his buddy and make a deal. And I don't know, would you do that for your friend? Would you take 10 years for
your better
friend?
I feel like if you grew up the way that it grew up, I could see it.
Take 10 years from somebody, but you better come through with your
that is also true.
With your end of the deal.
He brought up Nana B. Who's kind of like the tie. They tie each other together.
Nana B took care of Jeffrey when he was young and brought him in. They were sort of raised like brothers. So for him to not make good on what he promised him, even if he did it in a small part, for him not to really truly do it and achieve as much as he did, you can understand why Darius is so upset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because
I want to know why.
We find out that he never really came through.
But I want to know why he didn't come through.
There could have been a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Is he really that bad of a person, or is there a reason he couldn't do it?
I feel like he kind of moved on from his life, that life. Mm-hmm. He kind of made that clear so many times, like, oh, that's my old life, and really wants to stay away from it. I think maybe he just wants to cut ties. Mm-hmm. But maybe just pay him and cut the ties.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Or if it's not, or you know, sometimes it's just never enough. You know, remember he was asking for $50,000 and then all of a sudden he's like, no, I want a million. Like, that's a big jump.
If you give an inch, people like to take a mile. So or he's going to keep coming after
him. But he spent 10 years him. He spent 10 years.
That's why you understand why he's so mad. And I love that shot where they go from his face and then they go to the current face. And that's the same actor, you know, playing the same part for 18 years. And to have that weight and then just being like, no, I will take your son. I will take everything that means anything to you because you owe me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like this episode 5, Kingdom, was really about the father-son dynamic, because we saw it with Alex and Jeffrey. We saw kind of a father-son relationship with Andre and Darius. And we also saw, you know, obviously Chase and Victor. So it was definitely a father-dedicated episode, because I feel like they're, from what we've seen up until now, they're a lot more dynamic than the women, the mothers, thus far. But I could totally be wrong. We're going to find out.
Yeah, you're definitely going to find out.
Yeah, it was really cool. And what was I saying? Jeffrey, he shows up guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
You know, that was insane. This was such a crazy episode. This was the episode that the team kind of came together for the first time, really, with everyone in their powers. So what do you guys think of, like, everyone just, like, finally coming together with their powers? Molly, Nico, she has the staff, finally. Carolina, she was shooting out... What was
beams,
that?
She like was light.
Yeah, like
I love.
What did you guys think of this whole showdown?
I thought it was great because they all kind of came in one by one, showing their power, and they all were like, even though there was a shootout,
except Gert,
Alex is being kidnapped. So yeah, but even though all this craziness has happened, they're all coming out with their power, and everyone's just kind of like, wow, like you're really cool. Like just taking that little moment to appreciate their powers. I thought it was a really funny way to show it.
And finally,
I love Chase coming in his Range Rover and then he's with the fisticuffs and then like him almost shooting himself. was like classic okay, kinda worked, but like we still have to
figure it all out. Yeah, they're figuring each other out again. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't been friends for 2 years and now they're older and they've gone through a lot in this last week, and so they're really coming together as a group and getting to know each other again. Mm-hmm. And figuring out where their alliances are and how strong they really are.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to choose one of the superpowers, any of the character superpowers to take,
I want that staff one. I just think it's so cool. You just stick it in your bag and you pull it out. And she hasn't even discovered all the powers that it has. And as you see at the end of 5, Tina's like, no, you keep that for a little
while. That's a powerful weapon. You need to use that wisely. That's all I'm going to say.
It only works for two people.
But I found it interesting. How come it works for Nico and it wouldn't work for Amy when she was alive? Now, that's just interesting.
That was never said.
She said it worked for two people.
But she could have been lying. Why she
or
killed,
because
she,
Nico's because Nico because Amy's gone. Amy's gone. So there's only two people on the planet. It's the DNA. You know, it hits their finger in the blood. Or it was made just for Nico, but Amy's gone. So
So maybe she's gone for a reason. She's like, you're not my successor. I don't know. I don't trust that Tina.
Nika's gonna come into her power. She did. It was so cool when she, you know, it's right through their eyes, and she's all protect us. And the first time she did it, it didn't work. And the second time, the third time, she had it.
Can I say I give Darius props for still trying to come back and fight, though? Like,
he's not a quitter.
He did not quit. He's just like, first of all, you ain't gonna play me. Like, you put me some bushes. Like,
they shot. He got shot with the fistigons into those bushes. I don't know how he got up from that, personally. And then he came guns ablazing, like he was going. He had two guns.
I'm like, where'd you get the second one?
He was gonna shoot them down. Wow.
I love that he saw the bullets kind of just like disintegrating, and he was like, jumped in that car, like zoomed away as fast as he could.
Something's not right here. No. Darius is a great character.
Will we be seeing him again? Is that too much of a spoiler?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I have a question for you that interested me. So, at the end, you know, you and Jeffrey, you know, had your talk, like, we're still water, you're still his dad, we're still parents, and we still have to figure out what's going to happen when Darius makes his appearance. And we don't want to keep secrets from each other. But you got a look. Like, when you have your own secret. Like, you keep it from Jeffrey.
Well, I think that she's just realizing, because he says if Darius comes back, and she says, oh, I don't think you mean if, you mean when. Mm-hmm. Basically, Jeffrey, this issue is coming back. So yes, the answer is yes. When Darius comes back, we're going to need to deal with this. And she comes to him and says, yeah, no, we don't have any secrets with each other. Like, we can't. We have to be a team. We have to be Team Wilder in order to go up against any of this stuff. And I think she's just conflicted. Like, we almost lost our boy today. Like, this is really, the things that we have done are really coming. If we would have lost our son, I mean, Catherine would have been devastated. So I think it was more a look of shit. Today that got too close. That got too close to home is really what I think it is. It's like, keep Jeffrey together. Keep our child together. Keep it all together. Because we're about to lose it all, and that just can't happen.
Yeah, we're seeing the cracks in the pride.
You're starting to see the cracks in the pride.
And if you're going to keep those secrets, you know, Victor caught note of Janet and Robert's relationship
just
in this episode.
One little
he knows,
thing
and now knowing that he has cancer, that even makes me feel for him, his character, even more.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm afraid that maybe Jeffrey, he's going to keep a secret from Catherine, and that's going to, you know, blow everything up.
Well, Catherine just said, don't you keep no secrets from me, so.
I think Jeffrey might keep some secrets
from
you.
And she didn't believe him the first time when he's like, oh, it's just a missed call, it was a wrong number. She's like,
I was at home, and where are you
it's
going?
It's like, oh, no.
She is so calm and collected and kind of like the glue that keeps everyone together. How do you see Catherine? Like, did you use anything from past people that you've played on TV?
I dive into each role on their own, and I'm sure they all they all kind of stem from inside of me, so I just look at them, I just try to find the truth in the character and just play it. So, yes, she doesn't have a power. There are no special abilities that the Wilders have at all, not even Alex. What they have is that sort of calm glue that kind of pulls things together. They have leadership skills. There's a reason why they're leading. They're one of the leaders of the Pride. The reason why it's in their home. The reason that Julian McMahon's character found them back in the day in 1999 in the middle of some jail cell and saw that they were going to come together. So this is part of her life and part of her legacy, and she's not going to lose it.
They're arguably the strongest. They got all the money. They're smart. But you brought up Julian McMahon's character. Mm-hmm. We come to find out he's actually that crusty body.
I know.
And we're kind of predicting that he might be the father of Carolina. Yes. And when he said, like, oh, I just want to see her, look in her eyes, Leslie was mad. She said she did not like that.
She's not ready for that all to happen. Not ready. She's got a husband.
And he's out in the desert just like trying to become an ultra.
I know. I think they were just kind of trying to keep him away
somewhere.
Yeah. I actually thought he was going to be a sacrifice. I know they used teenagers, but I really thought he was going to be the sacrifice.
They're like, I know. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But then they got Andre. Poor Andre.
I know. Poor kid.
The kids try to stop him.
That's Nathan Davis Jr. He's a big musician. He's great. He was in that Detroit movie as well. He breaks your heart when they put him in that box. Mm-hmm.
It would have been like super convenient for him to die and for the new father to take place. For the guy from the church. What's his name again?
Frank.
Oh.
Yeah. It would have been convenient because then like you don't have to like really worry about
you don't have to kill a 17-year-old.
But if you lose another person from
it's so suspicious.
From the church, that's true. To know, and it has to be someone that no one will miss, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And then Carolina probably wouldn't like that either.
It's all tricky, and he's not a part of the prize, so we're gonna find that out.
Or was he?
Mm. Can I just say I'm super excited that Julian's on there because first of all, I'm a Charmed fan, and can we say he has not aged, and it's kind of like freaky.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, well, he didn't why age are you still in our staying so hot.
He didn't age in our show either. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Did you notice that in the flashback he's the same? Yeah, he's the same.
So he always comes back.
Is this a clue right
dun,
now?
Dun, he's the same. Dun.
He's immortal.
Yeah, I think he's
Angel Parker confirmed.
Well, he was a crusty man, and he was in a glowing box. So yeah.
He's Voldemort. I called it.
He's something.
Yeah, it was unexpected because we were thinking that was going to be Leslie's father who passed away. You know, it's Julian McMahon.
I know. You know, it was funny when I was reading the scripts. I thought that too. Mm-hmm. I thought that too. But remember, he glows. Remember when he was crusty, and then he's in the glowing box, and Carolina glows. So there's a lot that's gonna come out.
Can we talk about the part that Mina missed?
Oh,
what did I miss? What did I miss?
Leslie getting all naked to slide under.
That's what threw us off.
See,
the part that you guys were saying his genitals were glowing. I said I didn't remember that part.
That middle part was just glowing.
I just remembered.
I did take a screenshot of that and sent that to. I had to send that to my girl Annie who plays Leslie. I'm just like, girl.
What did she say?
We were just making fun of each other. We're just clowning. I'm just like, girl, that scene. I can't with that scene. And just because you have to shoot it, you have to do it. And I'm like, what was glowing under that scene? So, we have a lot of fun with each other.
That's all good.
The ladies of the pride, the women of the pride.
Yeah, you were talking to us about like you guys are so close, and that's so cool to just go back and watch the next episode. I'm like, these guys are friends in real life.
We're
like
all friends. We've got a loop. We got a pride loop. We got a, and then the pride loop, the men get all, they're like, stop texting so much lately. And so we got a women of the pride loop. We've got a runaways pride loop. We've got it all. So we all hang out. After this, I'm going to hang out with them.
Oh, yes.
I gave everybody red onesies for a wrap gift. So no, we're very close, and we're really grateful to be a part of this show. So we just really want it to be successful.
It is. It is.
But we're just happy that the fans like it, because that's really what is the most important thing to us.
Have you had any experience with a fan, even on Twitter, like that really like stood out to you or like meant a lot to you?
Well, they just love it. They love it. Like, I've had fans make sort of artwork of Catherine from the comic and me and the way they put it together, and I'm just blown away, not by how similar I am to the comic, but just how they put that together, and they'll find out. You know, it's just sweet. It's just love, you know, to send the love out to the, you know, through the internet. Most of the time, it's not. So to receive all that and to really hear what the fans think is the best.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So much happened in episode 5. We find out about a little bit about Carolina and her possible interest in Nico. So that's something that's really important, I think, personally.
She has a moment, and especially when she walks in on Nico and Alex. Yeah, so that's why I ship Alex and Nico, because it's just they're doomed to fail. You can can just tell that something's not going to keep them together. I still ship the two of them, but it's all going to be okay.
Oh my gosh.
But then Carolina, I mean, her heart just... Her heart
broken.
Can't take much more. So.
You know, everything's a lie. Her entire life is a lie. Why am I glowing? Why have I been wearing this bracelet for my entire life?
I know.
Struggle with, you know, possible sexual identity. Heart is broken with Nico and Alex.
Yeah. I mean, poor girl was almost raped in the first episode. Yeah. I mean, this
she's
girl.
Been through it.
Her mom's been picking up, you know, runaways, yeah. killing them. So
she's got a lot going on. Poor Carolina. But Ginny, she's such a great actress and just plays it so well. She's such a beauty too. Mm-hmm. So the camera just loves her. So it's really cool when she does glow, and you know, like Chase says, she's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. We cannot like discount that ever. But we almost forgot something from episode 4, the showdown between Dinosaur and Molly.
Oh my god.
I had to get that out.
No, thank you for bringing that up.
Because that fight
he was like right above her face.
I was team Molly in that one though, but I'm always team Molly. How was it like, I don't know. Well, we haven't seen any scenes with you with
the dinosaur.
Old Lace.
Yeah, well, Old Lace, I mean, it's 6 puppeteers that bring her to life.
That's crazy.
And then they add CGI later for like the tail and for it to move. But when you're working with the dinosaur, it's right there. Like Molly was that dinosaur was right there, and there are, you know, actors and skilled animatronic workers that are bringing her to life. So I swear that dinosaur probably costs way more than all of us because it's so lifelike. It's so lifelike. They really brought Old Lace to life, and when you get to see her in her full glory, it's just very cool.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I just love how Gert came in. She was like, stop. And it was like, they're both like ready in battle mode.
Oh, yeah. She was going to take, that would have been a good fight. Like, who was going to take who down? Or when she just kicked him off
up the ceiling. Oh,
up to the ceiling. You're just like, oh, do not mess with Molly.
I kind of wish Gert didn't interrupt.
I know, you just want to see.
Molly would have whooped.
Molly would have gone. I mean, Molly can pick up cars. She pushes vans. She picks up
that's right.
SUVs.
She would pass out, though.
Yeah,
afterwards.
I know, then she'd pass out.
Gert's superpower feels so, like, limited and useless. Like, I hope that it can expand into something more than just talking to one.
That's a pet. She's going to use somebody someday.
She's
what are you talking about?
When all of a sudden, like, your number 2 shows up and it's a dinosaur, I think you're good.
You always want
to. You're just like, say hello to my little friend.
Could you imagine Darius's face if he saw a dinosaur too?
Oh my gosh.
He would have lost it.
I really wish Old Lace was there in that shot when it zoomed out of all of them. That would have completed it. It was 99%, but I really wish the
dinosaur. You gotta wait for it. Wait for it.
Okay.
Going back to Molly for a second, does Catherine completely believe Molly when they're in the car and she tells her, like, oh, you're looking for alcohol? Like, does that conversation ever kind of come back?
Yeah, it comes back.
Oh.
Yeah, it comes back. I think in that good moment question. She believes her because that is an actual, I mean, I was like, good, quick thinking, Molly.
Yeah.
You would kind of believe that. You'd be like, oh, yeah, they were looking for booze. Oh, okay, no big deal. Kind of like with Nico with the shirt off. She's like, oh, they'll believe that teenagers are having sex. They'll believe that teenagers are drinking, mm-hmm. but they're not going to believe that these teenagers actually figured out what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So she's relieved that she thinks that it's just a little bit of alcohol. But no, I mean, they do run away. They do find out that we know, and there's something to run away from. So when that all comes down, that's why I'm saying don't rush the runaway. Cause
yeah, please don't.
We have to figure out that they know, because that's what ultimately they're running away from us.
Yeah.
So
and we have to learn about each and every one of you.
And they have to feel that they're in danger. Because at this point, you know, maybe they could reason with the parents. Maybe it's not, you know, even Alex says in episode 5, I'm going to go sleep in the guest house. Like, it's just such a Brentwood thing to say. Fine, you stay here. I'm going to go sleep in the guest house. You know, what happens when that's not good enough and that's all that you know is I'm going to go to the guest house. How are you going to make it in the world?
Mm-hmm. Even, you know, some of the parents want to run away. And I want to know what you guys think of Molly and Gert's parents. Because remember they had the house, the secret location.
Yeah, that they inherited from Molly's parents.
It's from Molly's parents in Yucatan. Yeah.
But
Tina tracked them down.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
man.
What's
Tina
going
on
with that?
Them.
No, let's say Kincaid was on that. Because that spider tattoo is very distinctive for a reason. It's going to come back to haunt us and
Black
bite
Widow.
Us in the butt.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's going to come back.
Well, yeah, I think that's very symbolic.
Everyone's afraid of Tina. I mean, even remember the men when they're kidnapping and they're about to get arrested and they're going into, they're like, oh, your wife's going to be mad at us. Like, no, Tina's not going to know anything. I'm going to call
Flores.
Yeah, I'm going to call Flores. No, Tina's got a staff. Tina, literally, Tina has a staff, but she also has a staff working for her that's going to ensure that, you know, the WizCom and everything comes out. So she's badass. She's a badass.
She is.
She's evil. And she's also stone cold. Mm-hmm. And then just everything that happens when she tries to get back together with her husband.
I was going to ask you about that. What'd you think about that restaurant scene?
I know, right? That's the one scene I had to skip that my son, I couldn't let my son watch that one. I was like, there's one scene that maybe my son's a little too young to kind of understand. But no, you just, your heart breaks for her. She's really trying. She knows she's lost a good man and she's trying to get it back. And he's got other things on his mind.
Do you guys think Tina is really trying with Nico at the end of episode 5, or is she kind of playing her a little bit?
That's an interesting question.
She was giving her like a false sense of power.
I think the same thing.
I think so. I feel like she's trying to set up, she set up the death of Amy. That's what I'm predicting. I feel like she's trying to set up Nico for, you know.
And I think she can track what the daughter does with the staff.
Interesting.
It's also very interesting to think that if they start to connect with their parents again, then they don't believe them. You know, if you don't, if you start to connect with them, if she starts to appreciate her mom for the staff, or if Greg Sulkin's character, if Chase starts to, you know, admire his father, it's harder to run away. It's harder to believe that they're doing that. You don't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I have one final question before we start to wrap up. What's been one of your personal favorite dynamics to either be a part of while acting or to watch?
Bless you.
Thanks.
I just love the dynamic between Catherine and Jeffrey. Okay. I really do. I feel like they are one of the healthiest relationships on the show. They really, truly do love each other. And even when there's that little bit of a lie or of not sharing the complete truth, they still come together at the end. They still know that that they're gonna make it through this together. So the working with Ryan has been the best.
Oh, that's so. Oh my gosh! You are such a phenomenal actor in this show, and seeing you come to life like that ponytail.
Oh, that ponytail!
That ponytail! It's in the comics.
It's
too.
In the comic. Well, that was it. We really had to make sure that it all came to life. But that in the comic, it like swirls down her butt and it does this whole thing. So we knew we had to make that ponytail something special. So it took a lot of time every day to get that. But you see my hair. I got no hair.
It looks good.
I got no hair. It. So to bring Catherine to life really took some time and effort. And I'm really proud of how the whole team put it together. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks for watching the show.
You need to come back.
Fans. I will come back because I want to see if you guys are right. And I want to see. If you're wrong.
Oh my gosh. I hope I'm not wrong.
It gets really good. It's all just going to start to. We only have 5 left.
We're going to keep in touch, okay?
I know, yeah. I'll see you on the Insta.
Tell the fans, the Runaways, where they can find you one final time.
Oh, I'm on Twitter as Angel Parker, and I'm on Instagram as Angel Parker LA.
And guys, ladies.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Brinkman. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley_Brinkman.
Hey guys, I'm Mina, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
Hey guys, remember we were doing a giveaway, so go to iTunes. You'll find our podcast under Marvel TV Weekly. Give us 5 stars and a review. If you do not have iTunes, leave a comment under our videos on YouTube. Say 5 stars so I know you're entering the contest. You will win this comic book signed by all of our guests coming into the show.
Including Angel.
Yay!
Including
Angel. I'm going to sign it.
Yeah.
And guys, again, I am Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and love Shay Butter on Snapchat.
Oh.
Yes, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Oliver Drennan, and follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you, Angel, again.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You're tuning into The Destination. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.